So we have names like Bill Hale, Ernest Burkhardt, Byron, the brother of Ernest. You're going to hear names like Anna Brown, Henry Roan. They'll be in the film and in the book that hopefully you will be reading. So you have many descendants of some of these people and others that live here in Fairfax. Is that true?
Actually, most of the descendants do not live in Fairfax, of the people that you just named. Most of those people's descendants don't live right here. But there are descendants of other people related to the story that don't live here, that do live here, I said.
Are there descendants of the murderers?
Yes.
Both.
And there are descendants of the victims?
Yes.
All right. Talk to me about, do they live peacefully? Do they ignore each other?
So I'll tell you the best story, because I need to continue to live here. And so our friend Mary Jo Webb, Mary Jo Webb did original research on this in the 1970s and actually wrote up a booklet about her research of these murders in the 1970s at a time when she had to do it on a, you know, typewriter, and she didn't have a Xerox machine. Those were not invented yet.
Right.
And so she did this research, took the book to our Fairfax Public Library, donated it, and within a week it was gone.
Mm.
And she suspected who it was that had made it be gone.
They banned books back then, did they?
By just taking them and burning them, I think.
It was only one, so it was an easy job.
Yes. So there was there is a family here who are descendants of someone who likely murdered Osages. And eventually, Mary Jo was the best Catholic I have ever known in my life. She went to confession all of the time. Mary Jo was deeply spiritual. And so at some point, this family's church here closed, and they began to attend the Catholic Church. And so Mary Jo would say, every week I would go to confession, and I would say to the father, Father, I didn't listen to your homily again this week because I was sitting in my pew hating those people next to me because of what their family had done. And she said, you must forgive me, and I know they did not do it. They are not responsible for the sins of their father, but it's very difficult for me to listen to your homily because I'm so busy hating on them.
Yeah.
And the father eventually said, Mary Jo, you don't need to say that every week. I understand.
Yeah. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Were there any families on both sides that ever forgave and actually became friends and back and forth? Or are those divisions still pretty ripe?
So there are families where murderers' descendants have married Osages, not particularly Osages who were descendants of victims. I can't think of a case where there's really been active forgiveness.
Was there pushback among some of these people, these descendants, to the very book that we're talking about?
Yes, the funniest story is that was telling you the story of I was in physical therapy and I invited someone to come to David Grand's book signing. And the person said, no, I'm busy. And I said, oh my goodness, well, I can get you a signed copy. No, you don't need to do that. And so I told my friend Mary Jo Webb, you know, this person was very odd with me. And Mary Jo said, oh my God, Carol, I wish I could have been there. Why is that? Well, this is the daughter of someone who likely murdered Osages, and I had invited her to the book signing. And eventually, this woman's sister said to me, I was going to a family reunion of theirs to take pictures for the newspaper, and this woman said, Carol, don't you know that author, David Grand? And I said, yes, he's a lovely man. And she said, well, you know, next time he's in town, I think you should say to him that that would have been such a much better book if he would have only interviewed white people. And I said, well, I don't think he's going to rewrite the book.
Right.
that incredible?